My name is Carl Bowden, and I'll be speaking today. It's good to be together here in the new year. And worshiping the Lord together. As you probably see from the bulletin, you see a sermon title. But today is marked as Sanctity of Human Life Sunday in many churches in the USA. Today, I will be talking about the sanctity of human life from an unexpected angle. So stay tuned. But I want to first make a few introductory comments. I personally am pro-life. Our church is pro-life. Our Evangelical Methodist Church denomination is pro-life. Amen? The EMC governing document, The Discipline, which you have heard referred to periodically throughout the life of our church, contains a resolution in paragraph 1171 that addresses abortion. And it says this, I quote, "Whereas the Holy Scriptures clearly teach that life begins at conception and that the taking of that life is clearly repugnant to God, the Evangelical Methodist Church does not sanction nor condone abortion. As a pro-life church, we also believe that the Lord wants us to show grace and mercy toward women who have had abortions." The discipline also says this, "We encourage our churches to help women in problem pregnancies by providing understanding, forgiveness, and counseling in a spirit of love. They should be helped morally, spiritually, and financially when possible. We should do all we can to help unmarried girls to trust in the grace of Christ and lead them to new help in a non-judgmental spirit of love and understanding." And I continue to quote, "In the same spirit, we should help those mothers who have had an abortion to a realization of the redeeming grace of Christ and the complete forgiveness of that sin. We should open our arms of Christian fellowship to those who Christ redeems, restoring such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest we also be tempted. We believe," this is Carl again now, "we believe that all human life is sacred, from conception to our final step into eternity." Amen? When you hear that phrase, sanctity of human life, you may have a set of expectations. Thank God that He made us in His image and told us to fill the earth and reign over it, the fish, the birds, and the animals that scurry along the ground. I'm ready to go out and have some dominion over some fish, personally, anytime soon. But I want to read for you Genesis chapter 1, if you would turn in your Bible, please, to Genesis chapter 1. Verses 26 through 28. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground.' So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and He said, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground.' He made us in His image, and He gave us dominion over the earth." Image and dominion, those are two key words that we need to remember when we think about this passage. Because He made us in His image, human life is sacred. Human life from conception to birth and all ages of life is sacred. Merriam-Webster, a dictionary that many of us refer to, defines the word sanctity in this way: the quality or state of being holy or sacred. Human life is holy because God made us in his image, each and every one of us. Now, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 tells us that then the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. So God created us. He breathed into us with his spirit. He gave us life. Therefore, in Christ, when we breathe our last breath in this body, we will step into eternity and we will live with him forever. In Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18, and I think you're probably going to see that here in a moment, David tells us, and by the way, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, which our sermons are preached in, and there are scripture, there are Bibles on the back. If you need to grab a Bible, feel free to help yourself to that. Psalm 139, David tells us in verses 13 through 18, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me." What wonderful promises from God's word to us about us, his thoughts, the way that he knit us each together so miraculously in our mother's wombs. These are all wonderful truths and themes about the Lord and his loving care over us as he knit us together in our mother's wombs. Today, however, I want to talk about another aspect of the sanctity of human life, one that we may not have considered very much, one that I believe we need to think about. Here goes. I personally believe that we treat each other more and more like machines. This could apply to many machines. The machines I am referring to specifically are our smartphones. You know that bulge in your pocket? Our computers and the household or office machines that we use on a daily basis. Now, you may have just checked out because you may just have said, "I don't have a smartphone, Carl. I don't have a computer. I don't use office machines. So what are you talking? This message is still for you." Think about response time, speed, and patience. Let's talk about our patience level and how it has changed. Now, I'm going to lay out a story, and you'll see how old I am based on this story, okay? But back in the old days, when I had finished taking pictures on a roll of film, I took the film to the nearby drugstore. I filled out the info on the sealable envelope, and I dropped the envelope in a slot. Can any of you picture that? Anybody else admit to having done that? Okay, good. So then 3 to 4 days later, I came back to the store. I stood in line and I picked up my photo prints and my negatives. Great, that was the way we did it. But then a few years later, 1 hour photo development was invented. Do you remember that? 1 hour photo development? We could pay more, which we did, to get our photos in 1 hour and in color. Do you remember that, some of you? Okay. Wow, what a turnaround time. 1 hour. Years later, once there was digital photography, we took photos on our cameras, viewed them immediately, deleted some, and saved the rest. Do you remember that? And the early digital cameras were not so great. They were digital, but they were kind of grainy and still in process. Now, when cell phones were invented, we started snapping photos on our phones, and we sent them to each other, and we posted them on social media, which I think started around 2007, 2008, 2009, something like that. So that's one aspect of patience that we've encountered over the years. Another one, back in the 1980s, personal computers, we used to call them personal computers, PCs, or we sometimes called them IBM compatible PCs. You know what I'm talking about? When they were first used, they had a processing speed. We decided that speed wasn't fast enough. So newer and faster personal computers were invented, and we decided those weren't fast enough. So we invented still faster ones. And I'm somebody who personally has been working in computers since the 1980s, so I remember this evolution. Well, in the same way, when we first started using modems with our computers to send and receive email, it was very slow. We called it dial-up. And 1,200 baud modems. Anybody, did that ring a bell for anybody? 1,200 baud modems, slow, okay? It would dial in, you would send your email, you would maybe receive an email, and then that was the end of the connection. But at the time, we just thought it was amazing. But it wasn't fast enough, so we invented faster modems. Then still faster computers and still faster modems. Then we invented the ability to have cable TV. And with that, cable internet. Anybody following this progression? Faster still. Some of us also use satellite TV and satellite internet access. Faster still. On our smartphones, we talk, we text, we send and receive email, we open and use apps and buy things. On our smartphones, we operate at the speed of electronic fast. Not as fast as the speed of light, but as fast as electronic speed will operate. We are used to 10 seconds or less response time on our phones. Have you noticed that? That's what we've gotten used to, 10 seconds or less. Well, you and I regularly face patience trials. What are you talking about, Carl? Here's some examples. We wait in line at the pharmacy to pick up our prescriptions. Anybody else? Or is it just me who has to wait in line at a pharmacy? You do too? Okay. We wait in line at the grocery store to buy food. We wait in line at airports to check in our luggage for a long flight, or at customs to re-enter the country after being overseas. Long, slow lines, and Kathy and I just experienced that a couple weeks ago. It was we came back from Germany. We stood in the customs lines in the Dallas-Fort Worth airport. A lot of people, hundreds of people being processed through customs. Long, slow lines. But you and I have gotten used to the speed of electronics. We have gotten used to the fast response time on our smartphones. Our 3 days of waiting for film to be developed went to 1 hour. Our 1 hour went to 2.5 minutes of patience waiting in a line. Our 2.5 minutes went to 15 seconds or less, as we are accustomed to on our smartphones. Our patience has evaporated. We live in an impatient, hurry-up life. Yes? We have no patience. The speed limit on the road is too slow for us. We drive faster and we take more chances. We're in a big hurry. We hurry up on the merge ramps to get on highways. We then hurry to get in the faster moving lanes. We then hurry to get off the exits. And then we hurry to turn on the right roads, and then we hurry to pull into our driveways. Can anyone relate to, you can admit it. Anyone relate to this? Like the movie title, The Need for Speed, we need speed. We need to hurry. We're in a big hurry. We need it, and we need it now. But why? We may not have any idea why we are moving so fast. We just get used to that speed and we get impatient. If anything slows us down, we get impatient with people. We judge people for being slow. Sadly, we have little or no patience with life. And sadly, we have little patience with people. We begin to expect people to respond immediately, like the phones we use. We begin to think that everything must be done right now. We can't wait. We expect people to respond immediately. Why are they so slow? We expect people to respond like the machines that we use day in and day out. We can't wait. Well, that impatience has also transferred to our relationship with the Lord. We have little patience for God. We expect immediate answers. We tell God, or if we don't tell him, we're likely thinking it on the inside, I want that, and I want it now. There is this thing called patience. We try to hurry people up. We rush things. We act put upon if we must wait on people. We ask ourselves, why are they so slow? We begin to judge people if they do not have lightning responses. We expect people to respond like our machines. So what about patience? I believe that we can respect human life by being patient with people and patient with life. Real life, quote unquote, does not run at the same speed as the electronic speed on your smartphone, by the way. Patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit wants to grow and cultivate in our lives. We need to cooperate with Him and let Him do that. To be a person who has the fruit of the Spirit is to be a person who respects that life is sacred. The fruit of patience, one of the fruit of the Spirit. I'm not making this up. Read Galatians 5. Someone growing in the fruit of patience realizes that people respond at different speeds than computers or smartphones. Life takes time. People take time. You and I take time. Think about when you learn to ride a bike, or cast a fishing line, or cook a meal, or build a piece of furniture, play your favorite sport, or drive a car. You probably didn't get it on your first try. You probably needed to work at it, and you probably had to practice. And someone was patient with you while you learned the skill. Just as a reminder, you and I started off as helpless infants. Someone changed our diapers, washed our faces, washed our hands, taught us to walk, taught us to eat and talk like a decent human being, to sit in a high chair at a kitchen table. That's not an easy task to teach an infant, is it? Sit still in the high chair. Or else. And most high chairs now have straps where you can strap them in. And they got big trays with lips on the tray so that what goes near the edge doesn't go over onto the floor where the dog is waiting eagerly for that snack to hit the ground. Someone probably also taught you to brush your teeth and to wash your hands. So let's, let's slow down and think about being patient, that patience is a way to show dignity to human life. Here are some scriptures, and yes, we're finally going to get to some scripture. Here are some scriptures, scripture passages for us to think about and mull over slowly. First of all, would you turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, please? And it will also be broadcast on the screen behind me. It says this, "We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy." And this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Colossae. But you notice the word patience in that verse. What does the Greek word for patience mean in this verse? The Greek word is hupomone. Hupomone means endurance, steadfastness, perseverance, or patient waiting. We use the word to describe someone who is patient in the face of difficulties, trials, or persecution. And you and I don't often make the connection that patience involves persecution. The saints in the early church were persecuted. They had to endure with patience. There wasn't a quick out for them, particularly people like the Apostle Paul or Peter or the other apostles. So, hupomone, endurance, steadfastness, perseverance, or patient waiting. And then the verse that we heard this morning at the beginning of the service, Ephesians 4, verse 2, says this, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Making allowance for each other's faults. We're not perfect. Let's not expect other people to be perfect. Let's be patient. Let the fruit of the spirit of patience enter into the way we treat God and the way we treat people. The Greek word for patience in Ephesians 4 verse 2 is another Greek word, makrothumia. In the King James Bible, which you may have read, the word is often translated as long-suffering. Have you heard that word, that phrase, long-suffering? Makrothumia is a fruit of the Spirit that means long-suffering or forbearance. It's the ability to endure demanding situations and the shortcomings of others without becoming angry or upset. That's the fruit of patience. And Paul exhorts the Ephesian church in Ephesians 4, verse 2, as we just read. Humble, gentle, patient with each other, making allowances. If you and I have dialed down, if we're willing to treat people like people and to be patient with people, we will see the fruit of the Spirit of patience at work in our lives. And then in 1 Timothy 1, verse 16, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "But God had mercy on me, so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience, even the worst of sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life." Paul's saying something about his own life there. He realizes that God was very patient with him, and We know of the ways that the Apostle Paul set up the persecution of the church. And many saints were persecuted, to include Stephen, who eventually was stoned and stepped into eternity. But God was patient with Paul. Worst of sinners, like me, says Paul. Well, worst of sinners, like you and me, how about? By the way, the Greek word for patience in this verse is the same as the Greek word for patience in Ephesians 4, verse 2. God was patient with you and me, by the way. You and I weren't perfect. Sometimes we think we're perfect. God was patient, and he patiently drew you and me to salvation in Christ. Amen? He had to draw us, he had to woo us, and he brought us to a point of confessing our sins and repenting and receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He was patient with us. Then 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14 says this, "Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone." There it is again. Paul writing to the Thessalonian church and giving this exhortation. And that word for patience is the same word as 1 Timothy 1:16 and Ephesians 4, verse 2, makrothumia. Patience, long-suffering, endurance, perseverance. Be patient with everyone. And by the way, without the fruit of the Spirit, that's impossible. The Holy Spirit, however, wants to empower us and give us that patience. Earlier, we sang a song that included Psalm, or we did a reading and included in Psalm 27. But Psalm 27, verse 14, says this: wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. And this is the psalm, so this was written in Hebrew, and the Hebrew word kava for wait patiently means this. It means a proactive, expectant waiting, not an idleness. A proactive, expectant waiting. We wait patiently for the Lord. There may be prayers that you and I prayed years ago that we're waiting to see those prayers answered. We need to wait patiently for God. He has not forgotten. God's memory is perfect. He will remember. We trust him with the results, and we ask him to intervene with the prayers that we have prayed. Well, remember Isaiah 40, verse 31, which is a verse that you and I have probably learned over the years. But those who wait in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. That's the New Living Translation rendering, but I learned the New American Standard version of that verse, which says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Waiting on the Lord patiently. The Old Testament Hebrew word for wait in Isaiah 40, verse 31, is the same word as in Psalm 27, verse 14, which is kava, to wait patiently. A proactive, expectant waiting, not an idleness. So here are some things that turn out better when you and I wait patiently. The bacon to be cooked. Yes? The roast in the oven to be finished. The mashed potatoes to be cooked and soft enough. I don't like hard mashed potatoes, do you? I like them nice and soft. You gotta wait for them to cook. Or when waiting at the airport for a loved one to arrive on their jet, when you get the message, oh, this flight has been delayed for an hour due to bad weather in such and such a place, and you're waiting, waiting, waiting. But they will eventually get there, yes? It just may be later than you think. Or when waiting for paint to dry in the bedroom that you are painting before we put wall hangings back up. And you know, if you don't wait for the paint to dry and you put wall hangings up, you know what happens? It's just kind of messy. And the back of those paintings have paint on them, but not the right kind of paint. So it's best not to rush the things of life. And it's best not to rush people. There is hope for us because of the grace of God. We all need to take an honest look at ourselves and ask the Lord to show us where impatience runs us. And I don't know about you, I find that a couple days before I deliver a message on something like this, I personally get to experience some of these things. And, you know, getting behind a slow driver on the road in front of me on the way to church this morning, I'm going, okay, God, I know what you're doing. I need to just patiently wait for this driver to make their way down the road, even though it's 15 miles an hour less than the speed limit. Patience. Areas where we put unrealistic, machine-like expectations on people or circumstances and are shocked when things don't speed along at the speed of Carl or the speed of fill in your name. Don't be so shocked when things don't hustle along at your speed. People will not respond at the same speed you have grown accustomed to with your smartphone or your other electronic devices. They will not respond in 10 seconds. People are people. Life takes time. Remember this. We need to slow down and let the Holy Spirit work patience in our lives. Today, tomorrow, at home, at work, in the grocery store, wherever we are with people. So as we think about the phrase sanctity of human life, also think about the changes that the Holy Spirit wants to bring to make us more like Jesus. As we cooperate with him, he begins to produce the fruit of patience in us. And he also wants us to learn to wait on him and to wait on people. I'm asking all of us today to respond to the Holy Spirit's nudgings. If we need to repent from being impatient with people or impatient with the Lord, then please, let's repent. If you need to confess sins to the Lord that he may have identified that involve impatience or an unwillingness to wait, then please confess them. But God is gracious, and he will forgive, and he will extend grace to us today as we do that. So let's open our hearts to the Holy Spirit so that he can change us. Let his pace be our pace. I'm going to ask Jeff and the worship team to please come up at this time and to lead us in a closing song together. And I just, as I mentioned, I'm asking you to just be aware of nudgings the Holy Spirit may have given you today regarding this area of patience. Like I say, maybe there's something that you need to confess to the Lord, or if you'd like to come up and receive prayer, or if you'd like to go over to the prayer room that was mentioned earlier, there will be someone over there to pray with you. But let's have open hearts to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of patience. So please go ahead and lead us in a closing song.